friends, Luke 5, we're in our Luke series. You have an outline in your bulletins as well, and so you might like to have that out as we look at God's Word tonight. And one of my favourite passages, let me pray. God, speak to us, we pray tonight from your Word, that we would be men and women who step out in faith, who are willing to take risks for you, who are willing to be obedient to your Word, even when it sounds crazy, but that we will simply submit to your leadership, your will, your purpose, that we would see your name lifted up and glorified. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Friends, why are we here and why do we exist as a church? Let me remind you of our purpose statement, which is up on the screen. We exist to glorify God by bringing people to Jesus and fellowship in his family, leading them to a Christ-like maturity, equipping them for loving service in the church and effective witness in the world. So how do we do that? Well, we grow spiritually, becoming more like Jesus to maturity through Bible reading, through listening to sermons, through praying, through going to home groups, through attending courses, doing one-to-one with someone, going to conventions, going to Bible college maybe, or maybe going to a next-gen conference as some of our youth leaders did. We witness, we're called to witness through schools work and kids and youth groups and camps and holiday club and playtime and craft and prime time and radio. We evangelise via our website. We do it at weddings. We do it at funerals and carols events and men's breakfasts and Flourish women's events and young adults events and at Fresh and at Alpha and Christianity Explained and one-to-one and personal witness in the Chinese ministry, in the Macedonian ministry, through the Wellington mission team to Outback, through beach and country missions, amongst others. Our local and overseas missionaries give it all for the glory of God, supported by our church. Personal support, budgeted support through May Mission Month. We are committed to seeing the gospel go to the nations. Lives are being changed in Lebanon, in Bali, at Sydney University, at Beverly Hills Girls High School, at Peakhurst High in Senegal, through Cram and New South Wales schools, in Malawi, as we heard about tonight, amongst the Matu people in Outback Australia, through YWAM in Perth, and I can continue. And let me say, having come back from Nepal recently, in Nepal, through aid and development work, God's gospel is going forward and people are getting converted. And now the pastors who are leading some of those churches were Buddhists and Hindus originally, converted through the ministry of other believers into communities, deprived communities. They are now leading those churches. And by giving financially, we are part of that. We demonstrate the love of Christ through personal caring, through food hampers and the Christmas appeals and Operation Christmas Child, Baptist World Aid Child sponsorships, and the Shum Ministry to the Homeless in Surrey Hills, through Watoto Ministries in Uganda, through the Bibles for the Persecuted Church, through Creative Craft fundraising for charities, through others visiting asylum seekers in Villawood, and Hayley Burns even going to Manus Island and PNG. And we do it a variety of ways. I just wanted to throw all those things out to remind you that God is at work. We are stepping out in faith, saying, God, use us in a variety of ways. And that happens week after week, month after month, year after year. And God is at work, but I want to remind you tonight as we look at this passage of Scripture that God is sovereign in this world, God is king in this world, and he is still fulfilling his purposes. And Jesus Christ is the only hope of the world. And let me tell you, when you spent 6 hours, 7 hours yesterday with a family who just lost a loved one, you know Christ is the only hope of the world. Amen? Amen. When I have an 8-year-old say to the gathered community, she came in, it's okay because mummy's body is here, but her spirit is with Jesus. 8. I'm not saying she understands all of that, but she's been taught and instructed that that is the case. Jesus is the hope of the world, and he wants people who are willing to take him seriously, to put him first, to make a difference. And in this story, as we look at Jesus encountering his disciples and challenging his disciples to, in a sense, understand him and understand what he wants of their lives, he's at a lake, the Lake of Gennesaret. People are crowding around him. Try and get the picture here. They're down by the lake. There are huge crowds everywhere because they've seen him heal the sick and they've seen him drive out demons. They've heard him proclaim the kingdom, that Jesus is king and you need to submit to him as king. And people are crowding around and following him everywhere he goes. And they are listening to the word of God as he speaks it. He was at the water's edge and two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats the one belonging to Simon, and asks him to be put out a little from the shore. The crowds are coming, and he sees the boats. Guys, this is dangerous. He put me in a boat. Let me get out a little bit into safety. Then I'll preach from there to the crowds. He sat down, as rabbis would do, and taught the people from the boat. Four things we learn from this story that I want to share with you tonight. Number one, we need to be men and women who obey and trust the master's commands. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, he's just preached, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon said, Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. You know, when Jesus spoke to Peter could have said, Jesus, you're crazy. I'm not going to do it. I've been fishing all night. I'm the fisherman. You're the preacher. Sit down. Let me do my job. He could have said, Jesus, your instruction just doesn't make sense in this world. Your instruction, it won't work. You ever said that to Jesus? That's not going to work. I'm not going to do what you say. Love my enemy. Feed my enemy. Pray for those who persecute me. That's crazy, Jesus. No. Jesus says to him, put out the boat, let down your nets. Peter is the expert on fishing. Jesus is not the expert on fishing, and yet he is. What does Peter say? As crazy as your instruction is, Jesus, I will do it. I will follow directions. I will obey you. And friends, those who make a difference for God are those who take God's word, read it and obey it and trust him. Let me give you two examples of where we're called to trust him in his word. Number one, I'll ask you the question, will you follow God's direction and use your gifts for the good of the church and the glory of God? Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. After Jesus washed his disciples' feet, we read in John 13, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I forgot to bring my towel up today. Because that's the picture. You wash the feet, you have your towel, you're a workman. You're a workwoman for Jesus. Whatever he says, you do it and you're ready to go. Scripture teaching, home group leading, praying, discipling, working with kids in kids' church, or running a parenting course, or doing evangelism training, or offering hospitality, or running an outreach event, or going to Villawood, or helping out with the Chinese ministry and cooking a Chinese meal, or being involved in university, or if you're at high school, being involved with your university or your high school Christian group. Whatever it is, find your gifts and use them. And as I look out here, I'm just going to ask you to call out your gifts, where you're using your gifts in a moment. Can I pick on some people? Or I'll get some volunteers, right? That's response now. Amanda, what are your gifts? What are you using them? You're working with youth. Okay, anyone else? Something different. Okay, we've got all the youth people serving in youth ministry. Hands up. Praise God. Why don't you applaud? Praise God. Thank you for doing that. All right? Anyone else? Who else is serving somewhere else? We can't clap everyone the whole time and we won't finish. We've got the celebration communion to come. What else? Someone else is doing something else? Anyone? Okay, you're a friend of everyone. If people ask you, tell them about Jesus. And you sing too. And you're a St. George fan. Good on you. We had a win yesterday. That's about time. But anyway, other gifts. What else are we doing? Who's doing? Who's serving? Mandy, what do you do? Music ministry. Getting married in a few weeks, hey? Praise God. Okay, anything else? What else? What else are we doing? Tim, what are you doing in your life outside of playing drums here? Fantastic. Anyone else? What else? Sorry? Home group leading. Thank you. Anyone else? What do teenagers do? Where do you use your gifts? Anyone? Oh, this is a hard question. What was that? Just think about that for another time. Anyone else? I missed all of that. It's all right. That's what happens when you ask people for responses. You don't know what's happening out there. Okay, there are examples. I'll give you some examples. And we need to be encouraging one another to keep using and stirring each other's gifts up so we use them for the glory of Jesus. Secondly, will you honour God and obey God with the use of your resources, including your money? All of your resources, all that you are, gifts, abilities, talents, time, and money. The Bible says, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, that's an affirmation of the church in Corinth, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. In other words, don't just be a good preacher, don't just be a good youth leader, don't just be a good prayer, don't just be a good supporter, be a good person, be good at giving money. Okay? Don't just keep it all for yourself. Use it for the glory of Jesus. Use it to support missionaries. Use it to support the work of the local church to the poor. Use it in a variety of ways. Be excelling, be excellent in the grace of giving. I'm not sure I'm excellent in the grace of giving. But as our church, we support Bibles for the Persecuted Church and Operation Christmas Child. And many of you support missionaries as well as sponsored children and so on. Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. Are you listening to Jesus? Are you being obedient to Jesus, whatever he says? One of the most moving stories I heard was by a story told by Tony Campolo a number of years ago. And it's about a young couple, and this is really applicable to young adults, I think especially, as who are thinking about marriage. And a couple of people came to Tony Campolo. There was a girl, she came to him and said, Tony, I've got a problem. And she said, John wants to marry me. And he said, what's the problem? You like him, don't you? She said, yeah, I'm crazy about John. Then he said, so what's the problem? You love John. John wants to marry you. Sounds perfect. And then she said, well, John isn't committed to Jesus. He doesn't share my commitment to go as a missionary to Brazil. Campolo said, what are you going to do? So you know what I'm going to do, Tony. I'm going to go to Brazil as a missionary. I just came in here for you to pray with me and cry with me. He said, I did both. He said, one Friday afternoon, John and I got into a car with her, drove the young woman to Kennedy Airport in New York and put her on a plane to fly to Brazil. When she boarded that plane, she was crying, John was crying, and I was crying, he said. And as she flew away, I thought to myself, is this what it means to be a follower of Christ? Is this what it means to be a disciple of our Lord? And the answer is, you bet your life it is. Christ first above everything. Obedient to his word above everything else. Even if it costs you a relationship. Because honouring Jesus is more important than that. Blessing comes by honouring Jesus, not by disobeying Jesus. Peter listened. But secondly, we need to give God the glory. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So there is a calamity happening. Jesus dropped the nets, he listens, and all of a sudden there are fish swimming everywhere, all over the place. And they are, I had a video of this once and I didn't have a chance to prepare it. You see all these little fish sort of swimming everywhere and the nets are collapsing and they don't know what to do. And what did they say? They filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And you imagine the fishermen go, I've never seen anything like this. Everything's falling everywhere. Jesus, what have you done here? And then as a result of that, when Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. Now, you know I'm Greek, right? And people tell me sometimes if you come from my culture, you like to seek a little bit of glory when you do something well, right? You score a goal, you know, you do somersaults in the air and you run around. All European footballers do that, you know. They make up things to celebrate because I'm a star. Look at me, look at me, look at me, right? Now, if you were a fisherman, your mates are with you, the other fishermen. You haven't caught anything. You go out with your nets and drop them down. Fish everywhere. What do? My fish, look at that. It's my fish. Am I good or am I good? He doesn't do that. Takes a step back. What does he say? Well, I think he fell at Jesus' knees. He said, go away from me. I am a sinful man. He doesn't get or try to gain any of the credit for himself. He deflects the credit to Jesus. He knows it is Jesus who has done this. It is Jesus who is the miracle man, not Peter, Simon Peter. Nowhere does he seek glory for himself, but really deflects all glory to Jesus. And I have to ask this question, you have to ask this question. And I say to preachers who preach and leaders who lead, especially, who gets the glory from your ministry? Does Jesus get the glory? Do you get the glory? Do you serve for the glory? Or do you serve for the glory of Jesus? I know we all like to be affirmed and encouraged. Let me say, you need to affirm and encourage one another. But what's your motivation? Is your motivation so people can think, oh, I spoke pretty well tonight. Am I preaching tonight so I get a good response on a care card after this? Let me tell you, I could care less. I lied, I would care, but... but you know what I'm getting at. Because ultimately, if I preach God's truth and do it from a sincere heart, then I'm just trusting God by His Spirit to work and to move you in some way to have a greater love for Jesus and to seek His glory in all things. Because you see, if Ange Gratzunas gets the glory, it's all over, because it's not about me. If Nathan Durst gets the glory, it's all over. It's not about him. If Nowy Baptist Church gets the glory, then it's over, because it's not about us. You know the test of a good sermon? Is that when you finish and I leave out there, you don't have to say anything to me. You just walk out thinking, wow, what a great Jesus we serve. What a great Jesus we serve. I want to tell you, don't go and tell people, oh, you're a great preacher. You're a great preacher. Oh, you're a great leader. You're fantastic. Don't go to Facebook like some people do and put beautiful photographs of themselves waiting for all the affirmation. Oh, you're looking good. I'm looking hot tonight. What self-obsessed people do we have in this world? Seriously. I'm just pulling it in a little bit. Okay, I'll calm down. We can share our photographs, but be careful why you do it. Be careful why you do it. I know why we do it. Because we love the attention. We love someone telling us we look good. We speak well. And as I've said, we need to affirm and encourage and build up. It's the motivation. And friends, sometimes people say, I've been at this church for 16 years. And sometimes people say, well, you know, oh, I talk to others, oh, you go to Andrew's church. It's not Andrew's church. There are 700, 800, 900 people in this church. This is Jesus' church. I just happen to have the privilege of being a servant leader of this church. Don't call it my church. And you say, God can take me out tomorrow. I hope he doesn't. But God can take me out tomorrow and he will continue to build and grow his church. He doesn't need me. He chooses in his grace and mercy. And that's a blessing for me to have this privilege. But it's God's church. He deserves the glory and he deserves the honour. And to be very careful, the word of God says, if we can go to Galatians 6 verse 14, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Friends, we've got nothing except the cross. We're going to go to communion in a little while. Just don't see it as communion. I've got to just eat the bread and drink the cup. Man, we're eating the bread and drinking the cup that reminds us of the most significant sacrifice that ever took place. The Son of the living God dies a cruel death on a cross for my sins and failures so we could be reconciled to him. That is the best message in the world. You want to boast about something? Don't boast about your gifts, your abilities. They're all by God's grace anyway. Boast in the wonderful message of the cross that brings you salvation, that brings you eternity, brings you hope and meaning and purpose and direction. Amen? Okay, this is what it's about somehow. And Peter got it. I don't think he got it completely, but he just went, wow, who is this man in front of me? Jesus, the powerful one, the one who came to establish his kingdom to bring salvation to the world. Thirdly, let's passionately engage in mission. And Jesus does this and he says to them, don't be afraid, Simon Peter. From now on, you will catch men. In other words, you've seen this miracle here, the miracle of the fish. That's nothing. There's something much more significant than this little miracle. You will go out and catch men. You will go and redirect the lives of thousands of people so they can know God and find friendship with God and find meaning and purpose. This is what I'm calling you to do, Peter, Simon Peter. You see, Peter can focus on what I call dollars or destinies. He can think about all this fish he can now sell and make a whole bunch of money. Or he can think about how Jesus is turning him and saying, no, no, no. It's not about the fish and selling them and making the money. It's about helping people meet God and find forgiveness. Friends, people's eternal destinies are at stake. And I asked you earlier to pray for the family of Natalie Newman, who passed away. And if you didn't know some of her story, and end of last year she was featured on A Current Affair, where they picked up her story of her illness. And in January this year, Current Affair organised a wedding for her on the Central Coast, I think, or the Newcastle area. And so not only, I guess, is she someone who loves Jesus, she's been catapulted in the media, and therefore a lot more people than normal would be thinking about her. The local commander at the Cogra Police Station swam across from San Susie to somewhere and raised $70,000 to $80,000 to go towards funding for her daughter Emily. And so God has placed her in the media where people are interested in her story. Now, I'm not going to ask the question why they were interested in the story, but by the grace of God, they were. And by the grace of God, we're able to proclaim the gospel to lost people. And I've sat 6 or 7 hours yesterday, another couple of hours today, with family members who come. Some are Christians, some aren't Christians. I've been able to pray and committed to God, and I've been able to pray for those gathered together that God would sustain us and help us. And Jesus says to Peter, it's about eternal destinies. About eternal destinies. So don't waste your life and don't love possessions and love clothes and love money and love fame and love success and love pleasure, but rather love Christ and love the lost. Give your life away in service to him. I mentioned earlier we were in Nepal, my wife and I, with a team from Baptist World Aid a little while ago. I remember one guy, and I was sharing in the morning congregation about this guy. He was a pastor, and he built a church on his land. And these are really high mountains, and they get this crazy road to get there. And praise God we didn't fall off. And so I'm here to tell the story. But we went and saw this little farm. They're learning to build, to do better agriculture and so on, and that's how our funds support them. I said, how did you end up being a pastor? He said, in his community, he said, I was a Buddhist. And but he'd prayed and God answered some prayers to some Christians that told him about God, and he was converted. We said, what happened when you became a Christian? He said, well, the men of the village took me out into the jungle for 3 weeks, persecuting me, trying to convince me to turn back to the faith or the beliefs of my parents. I said, what did you do? I said, I remained firm in my faith in Jesus. We came back, and now my parents are Christians, and here they are, because we sat with them in their building and some of their church members. And so, and then we built this church, and we have 50 men, women and children who come every Sunday now. And some remote mountain village where there's like a house every like hundreds of metres. You've got to walk up a couple of hundred metres to find another house. And out of his house, it's our brothers and sisters are meeting, learning about Jesus and loving Jesus and following Jesus. Courageous, strong, inspiring. I met another guy who was a pastor too at another really remote village down near India, and he said to me, I'm a pastor. Well, they translate and said, he's a pastor. So I met this little guy. He said, I was real bad. He said, I was, he didn't say it with an Aussie accent. He said it with a Nepali accent, but he said, I was a drunk, and I was abusive, and I was all these things, and then I heard about Jesus, and Jesus changed my life. And now these Christian workers, they're training me, he said. They're training me so I could be a pastor to help these other people and very few Christians in this place. But my job now is to come. I don't have a lot of money, but I come and I love people, and we help them grow their crops and we tell them about Jesus. Friends, let me tell you, it's exciting to see what God is doing around the world. You think about the Matu people in Outback Australia. I mean, I don't know. I've never been to the Outback. Never really wanted to go to the Outback. But God's people are called by God to go and to serve him with the gospel. And sometimes we need to get out of our comfort zones, do something different, take a risk for God and see what God will do. And Bill Hybels in his book, one of his books talks about getting out of the harbour. He says, builds into sailing. So he does a lot of sailing. He said, the point of boats though is that the harbour is that you clean up your boat so you can get out of the harbour into open water. And he said, leaders are restless in harbours. You need to get out and do something. And let me say, Christians should be restless in harbours because we want to get out and do something. We don't just want to huddle But after the huddle here, and this huddle's good, we need to go out to our universities and our schools and our homes and our sporting clubs to be Jesus people out there. And one day he said he sailed into open water. He got so far down the coast, he landed near a campsite where he became a Christian. He said he got out of the boat and tried to find someone who would drive him to the campsite where he gave his life to Jesus as a teenager. So he couldn't find a taxi driver who'd take him, and he met this guy in a rundown car, and said to this guy, "Listen, mate, I'm wondering whether you could drive me out to this campsite." He said, "I'll fill up your petrol tank." He said the guy was covered in tats. It looked like he didn't have a cent on him. He'd probably never had a full petrol tank either. So he was happy to take my money. I filled up the petrol tank. So this guy drove me out. I went up there. I got out of the campsite. I walk up to where I sat on this hill where I sat like 30, 40 years ago and gave my life to Jesus. So I just sat there and I cried and I wept and I said, God, thank you that 40 years ago you saved me at this spot. I went back to the car and the guy said, "What were you doing up there sitting quietly?" I said, "Well, I'm going to tell you that, 40 years ago I became a follower of Jesus Christ up there, and Jesus forgave me and changed me and gave me a new direction in life." You know what the guy said to him? "Do you think, on the way back, do you think God would accept a loser like me?" Guy thinking, "I don't have a hope. Who loves me? I don't have a job. I don't have money. I don't have influence. I'm not successful. I don't have any glory. I'm just a punk who just has a rundown car living out some bush area." And Bill says, "Man, God loves you deeply. And it's a place for you." And then the guy said, "This guy at the Malacca church has been talking to me about Jesus. I think I might go to church with him this week." Bill says, "Sometimes you've got to get out of the harbour, sail away, and meet people." Oh, I'm wondering, anyone met anyone this week? This is a real question, responsive question. Did anyone just happen to have a conversation with someone at your work, shopping centre, football ground? Raise your hand, anyone? Yeah, whereabouts?
I had this fellow friend today who thought something, and then he started telling me about the Bible. And I said, "Nick, I think you should come to the Bible study with me." He said, no, "I don't want to go too much into the Bible. I'm just getting the one looking at it."
Okay, so asking you questions, yep. So, praise God. It's all business. We're all after their money. We know. That's right. Fantastic. That's just a phone call with a friend. Anyone else? Anyone have a conversation?
At the gym.
At the gym? Great. Anywhere else? Yeah, up at the back. So, walking your dog, having a conversation with people. Fantastic. Anyone else? Lisa, what were you doing in Villawood this week? Or Haley? Talking to people. How many people did you talk to? How many of them love Jesus? Praise God. You're talking to them. Not that they don't love Jesus, but that you're talking to them. You know what I meant. Anyone else? Conversation. But what we're saying is that we go out. It's about eternal destinies. He said, "We'll make you fishers of men." It's not about the money, it's not about the fish, it's about going out and making a difference. And finally, he says, verse 11, "So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything and followed him." But let me say, sometimes God will call you to leave your vocation, to do some type of paid gospel ministry, be a pastor, a youth pastor, a children's worker, a schools worker, a missions worker, go to the unreached, teach overseas. God will sometimes call you, and you need to listen to him when he does that. Sometimes God will call you to leave everything behind and serve him no matter what. And sometimes your family won't like it, because they say, "Well, what are you going to do? You're going to mess up your life. You're going to have no money. You're going to have no money. You're going to have no income. You're going to, you're going to be a shame and embarrassment to the family and to the community." Don't do it. You can't take your children overseas. That's not responsible. But your parents will say. And Jesus says, "Follow me wherever I call you to go." Emily Woods is thinking about going to Africa in 2014. Well, she's planning under God's leadership to go to Africa in 2014. Catherine Jobling is at Moore College training for ministry. Ricky Sue, one of our guys, is now at Hornsby Baptist, about to go to Army Chaplaincy. Wayne Ford, our youth pastor from a few years ago, is pastoring a church at Nelson Bay. Christian Aguilera is at Townsville. Keely Landrigan, who was a student here, is at the Hunter Bible Church, spoke at their Quip conference recently. God is calling men and women to invest their lives in the cause of the gospel. For most of us, we'll just be working in local churches and serving and ministering, but God will call some of us into full-time work and full-time mission work. It's a time you stepped out in faith to do a local ministry, to do something full-time. Too hard? Look at that table. When you think it's too hard, you look at that table and what Jesus did for you. Nothing you do compares to the sacrifice of God's Son on a cross for you. When you obey and trust the Master's commands, when you give God the glory in all things, when you passionately engage in mission, and when you follow Christ completely. Let me pray. God, we commit ourselves to you tonight to step out in faith to make a difference. Lord, we love you. We desire to know you more deeply and to focus our hearts and minds on the cross. May the cross be the boast of our hearts. May you choose to use us to make a difference, to impact eternal destinies. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.